This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 281 for the week ending Saturday, July 18th, 2015. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Catholic Weekend. I am Jeff Nielsen, also known as Captain Jeff. And I am in Roswell, Georgia, and joining me today from Conyers, Georgia, the lovely Miss Maria Johnson.
Hi, everybody. So happy to be here this morning.
So happy that you're here with us. And also joining us from the beautiful state of Oklahoma, Steve Nelson.
Hello, everybody. Good to be here again. And it's hot here.
Hot. And speaking of hot, our hot priest. I'll never
know where to get.
Hey, Father, when you say that, you have to go hot.
Yeah, that Buster Poindexter song.
Feeling hot.
Okay, I failed segues this morning. And this is already a train wreck.
Well, that's all right. You know that the guy who created the Segway segued himself off a cliff, right?
Yeah. Oh, I mean the actual little Segway thing?
The actual Segway. Yeah.
Really? What happened? I didn't hear that. Did he do it on purpose?
Oh, himself off a cliff.
That was a couple of years ago, yeah.
Did he do that on purpose?
No.
Oh, I thought maybe he was disappointed about the fact that the Segway didn't take over like the world with transportation. Yeah. Remember how they were billing this thing that this is the greatest discovery ever, and nobody's going to be driving cars anymore. And I'm thinking, really, this is what they really thought?
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah. So yeah, I can see all of us getting on to our Segways in the pouring rain outside, and
They work great here in Montana when you have to drive 100 miles, you know. That's just great to ride on that little cart.
You know, sometimes these creative, these brilliant creative people sometimes aren't the best at practical thinking.
Yeah.
You know? No. I mean, it was tragic. I shouldn't
I'm
make
sorry.
Fun of the
yeah,
gentleman
that's,
for
we shouldn't be laughing. That, but. Should not be laughing. So God rest his soul. Rest in peace.
It would have been great in one of those mall cop movies, though.
that's where you see them, right?
Yeah,
oh,
Paul
yeah.
Bart.
People and those dorky little Segway tours of downtowns.
I don't think I've ever actually seen one in person.
You've never seen one?
I don't think so.
Really?
Or if I have, I probably never – I missed it or something because, yeah, they don't have them out here. Where are you going to ride it to?
You need to go to Disney World. I rode mine at the Disney World. No, really, I'm serious. What was what's the name of the – the science and thank you, Epcot Center. They had like a little thing, and I don't know if they still do it, but they have like this little area inside one of the buildings where you can take it for a stroll for like 30-40 feet. But it's interesting because you have to balance on it and everything else, and some people do pretty well with it and others don't do so well with it, but it just takes a little getting used to. Have you ridden one, Steve?
I have not, but I see them when I've been traveling. You'll be walking downtown, and next thing you know, a little herd of them passes by on a tour or something.
The dorky ones.
Well, they seem a little dorky because they got helmets on, and I don't know.
I see them at airports.
I would do it if I had the chance, but it's not the most it's not the coolest looking thing to do.
No. I do see them at the airport quite a bit. They seem to be there. A lot of airport cops and mall cops drive them.
Yeah.
Paul Bart.
That's their market. Rent-a-cop. Oh, I mean.
Rent-a-cop. Today is the offensive show.
Yeah, we're not being
disparaging. How many people we can offend in the first segment.
We're not intentionally being disparaging. I thought we were in the country that never has heard a discouraging or disparaging word. No,
Well, maybe
I'm about that, Jeff.
The song does say discouraging, not disparaging.
Okay, so. Well, then we're okay.
And it hasn't become illegal yet to say disparaging words.
Not yet. Good point. Just give them some time.
The order of the day.
Yeah.
Well, Father Corey, how is everything going with the new responsibilities and obligations over there in Malta, Montana? And this
a lot of questions. We're trying to figure a lot of stuff out. So for those who haven't heard, I've taken over, in addition to the three parishes that I've been assigned to for the past 5 years, I've taken over three parishes on a Native American reservation, or Belknap Indian Reservation, and then a fourth parish, which is just south of the reservation. Fourth parish doesn't get mass very much. It's a very small town, but it does get like once a month. Well, we're trying to figure everything out. We're kind of at that phase right now of just trying to get our, get settled in, get, new mass schedule, because there are two priests. Now there's only one, so we had to change the mass schedule to fit that. Neither of us have developed either bilocations or Star Trek transporters, so we had to definitely change the mass schedule.
Super segues.
Yeah, exactly. And my charger can do 88 miles an hour, but it's not hooked up like the DeLorean from Back to the Future, so that doesn't help either.
So you're zipping along in the charger and not the pickup truck, huh?
Well, I do both.
What color is your charger?
I'm zipping along in the charger. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
What color is the charger?
Blue.
Ah, nice.
Nice blue. Yeah.
Nice car.
So we're doing a lot of we got the brand new double wide three-bedroom trailer, which frankly is nicer than my rectory, set up for the associate pastor, so he'll be able to stay there on the reservation when he's around. It's going to be a lot of just trying to figure things out and trying not to do too much, trying not to do too many changes or anything like that. So, yeah.
Well, Sarah, come lately.
Sorry, I was recording another podcast.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, we're a lower priority now, I see. Sarah Vabulous from Atlanta. Thank you. Thank you for the scraps, Miss Sarah. How are you this morning?
Was not scraps. It was just I was running the Google Hangout, and we were having like Tommy's wife wanted to talk to Arlene Spensley because we interviewed Arlene Spensley, and so I felt rude, like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I gotta go.
Can't have a fangirl moment because I'm so important. No, I'm not doing that.
Well, Sarah, tell us about what you're talking about right now. What podcast is that?
The Catholic Hipster Podcast. So I started two podcasts because I'm a masochist. But going on right now, we've got the Catholic Hipster Podcast, which I do every other week with the Catholic Hipster blog. And Tommy Tai is his name. He's out in California. So we do that every 2 weeks. And then I also have the Catholic Drinky Podcast that comes out on the weeks when the Catholic Hipster Podcast doesn't come out. So.
Oh, I was wondering why you didn't have a second one published yet.
Yeah, because I'm just going to do them every other week because of the Catholic Hipster Podcast. Otherwise, it's a lot of work. So.
Yep, sure is. Okay, yeah, good. All right, I'm glad that you haven't pod faded yet. You just started. Yeah. I did. I know that Sarah doesn't listen to the show, so she doesn't know that I mentioned both of your new podcasts in the last episode. You weren't able to join us. But
nope.
Anyway.
I forget what I was doing, but
I think sleeping probably. Anyway, great start out of the gate. Again, check out. Well, we'll have all this stuff in the show notes. The Catholic Hipster
did a great job on both podcasts. I've listened to both episodes and just fantastic.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah,
A+. A plus. Okay, so we were talking to Father Corey, and he was filling us in on the stuff going on out there in his diocese and his parishes.
New parishes.
So is your the new guy, the parochial vicar there now?
Yep. Yeah, he's been here since the beginning of the month. And it's working out pretty well. He's kind of getting settled in. You know how it is when you move somewhere, it takes you a month just to kind of figure out where you want everything. Well, he's kind of in that phase right now, so his room is a disaster, just trying to get things moved, getting his office set up here, and then figure out what he's going to take out there, because he's going to spend two or three nights out on the reservation at that trailer home. So it's going to be interesting trying to figure all this out. And, oh, by the way, in the middle of it, I have to, you know, pretend to be responsible or something, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You're the model.
You're in charge. Yeah. Are you large and in charge?
Well, I'm large, but that, not in that way. You know, I'm large. Round. No.
You are not. Not at all. Hey, tell us about your new assistant, or what do we call him officially?
Father Garrett, his name is Father Garrett Nelson. He's actually from this diocese. He was born and raised here in eastern Montana in the town of Miles City, Montana, which is southeastern corner. It's along I-94. If you go through I-94 in Montana, you go right through Miles City. It was actually my first assignment as a priest. That's where I went as parochial vicar for the first year. So I got to know his family and met him. He had already gone off to college by the time I was there, but met him as he was starting his discernment process. So that was kind of neat to meet him. And then now he's turned around. Now he's my parochial vicar. But I got to know his family pretty well. So it's kind of fun. At the Chrism Mass, his mom and his youngest brother, who's going into high school this year, were at the Chrism Mass to be part of the choir. You know, they'll put out a call to all the parishes in the area for a choir. And so his mom and his youngest brother were there. And his mom's like, oh, we need to come up to Malta and visit you. And I already knew that Father Garrett was coming, but I couldn't tell her because it wasn't public knowledge. So I'm sitting there biting my tongue going, yeah, you might be coming up and visit sooner than you think. And you might have a good reason, too. Yeah.
That's cool.
I wonder if we're related somehow.
Oh, yeah?
His family and my family. You should ask him if he has any ancestors from Indiana.
Could be. You know, never know how far back you go.
Yeah.
Of course, isn't Nelson kind of a common name?
It is, but I just generally I'll refer to them all as cousin.
There you go.
If you go to ancestry.com, you'll find that we're all related to royalty.
Oh, yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, but apparently.
And your entire universe opens up, or whatever they're talking about.
Ancestry.com, sponsored by the Mormon Church.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, so much of that is just not correct. But anyway, they're making a lot of money.
Yes,
all right. Well, thank you, Father Corey, for the update. Our prayers are with you in the whole transition and new responsibilities and all that kind of stuff. So, Maria, you weren't with us last week. Why not?
Sure. I was out peddling my book. I mean, having a fantastic time at the Adele conference. Guys, let me tell you, or not guys, ladies, what a delightful weekend I had. I was invited by my publisher and the good people at Carmel Communications hooked me up a little bit. And actually, it was kind of personal. Lisa Wheeler was very generous. Mm. And I was there. And it was so wonderful to see all of these women. And I thought I was going to go to like a young mommy conference. I thought it was going to be a bunch of young women. But it was a good cross-section. And everybody had a story, and everybody was sharing. And it was just a lot of fun. I can't wait to go to the next one. They're not going to have one next year. I think they're going to take a year off. But people are already looking forward to 2017. So it was a lot of fun. I had a chance to go with my publisher, Ave Maria, to sign book plates because my book's not out until November. And so they were trying to get a little hype going. And that was a lot of fun to sit at a table and have people say, oh, I've heard about you. That was neat. In fact, there was I'm going to have Father Corey say the name of my book, please.
You're going to have me do it. Well, there you go. You just said it. So.
No, it was funny.
Because I can't see the name of the title. It's not my book. So.
I was my badass book of saints. So I was in an elevator, and it was towards the end of the conference. We were on the way to dinner, and this notorious karaoke evening, and I was just in the elevator quietly. I said good evening to some women that were in there, and they all turned around and said good evening. And then about a second later, this one woman goes, "Hey, you're the badass," and I was like, "Oh, yes." That would be me.
Best recognition ever.
Isn't that hilarious? But But it was just so much fun. And do you guys remember some time ago there was a lot on Facebook about a family that had a daughter, Courtney, that was in her final days of life, and there was a big call for prayer. Her mom was a blogger that got a lot of attention following the story of daughter's illness, Mary Lindenberg. I met her. She was there, and she's just absolutely delightful and an inspiration. So, gosh, I just have so many new blogs to follow and promote. And it was just a fun weekend.
So, Edel, E-D-E-L, Every Dame Exudes Love or something. What does that stand for again?
Shut up. Adele Mary Quinn, who is...
Oh, I'm sorry. That's some bad information.
The venerable Adele Quinn. She's an amazing woman. She's actually in my book. She worked for the Legion of Mary, and she was an Irish woman who had... what's that disease? The tuberculosis? I think it was tuberculosis. Anyway, she was out... evangelizing in Africa, and so much of the evangelization that took place in the early 20th century was part of her work. And she was just a joyful woman. She was single and totally embraced her calling to evangelize. She loved the Lord, and she loved Jesus through Mary, and she did a lot of amazing things. And so her whole outlook of joy in spite of her illness, I think, was what probably inspired Jennifer Fulweiler and Hallie Lord, who are the women behind this conference. So it's really I don't want to joke about it. It was seriously a really, really grand event.
Well, Lynn, our producer in the chat room, put a link there, JenniferFulweiler.com, and her recap on the Edel conference. Edel. How do you pronounce
Adele.
That? Yeah, Adele. Okay.
Adele.
Hello, yeah. Everybody. Looks like we have a little crowd there in the chat room. Let's see. Cliff and Lynn, of course. Mike Kuiper, Sarah Boyle. Hello, everybody. And then a couple anonymouses. Anonymi. And good to see you guys. Thanks for hanging with us. All right. Well, glad you're back from your conference, and look forward to what the book is going to be officially released somewhere before Christmas. Maria Johnson?
Yes. November 20th.
Hello? All right.
Yeah, that would be your book.
I don't have a book. Sarah.
November 20th. Get it on Amazon.com.
Yeah. Order. Speaking of books,
I have a book back here.
Homebrewed Evangelization.
Hey, nice Ooh. Book. Yeah.
So how's that going?
It goes.
It goes.
Yeah. Lots of interviews keeping me really busy. So if you have not bought a copy yet, you can go to my blog, CatholicDrinky.com, and I will mail you an autographed one.
Sweet. I got one.
Me too.
And guys, that's really what you want to do. You want to, when you can, buy it direct from the author, especially if you're getting an autograph for it.
Yeah, you get. Doesn't the author get a little bit more of the proceeds that way?
A lot more.
Mm-hmm. I would think so. I would think so. Okay, great. And we already talked about your new shows, and everybody should subscribe and leave you 5-star reviews on iTunes.
We have no reviews yet, so please be
what?
Kind to review.
Okay, I will do that as soon as I finish today's show.
But I'm trying to keep both of them around 30 minutes, so they're really easy to digest as far as time-wise goes. Great for car rides.
That's what I do, too. I try to keep mine down to about a half an hour. Okay.
Do you don't even strive for anything. You just cover the material you want to cover, right?
Pretty much. And then when I realize it's getting to be close to 3 hours, I say, you know what? That's enough. But what's funny is
the last one, it's like, well, we're up to mid-June. Mind you, we're in mid-July.
we had to actually do an extra episode, a feedback extra, to try to keep up. So we're getting really close to being almost completely caught up. So Anyway, so yeah, as Father Corey said, I try to keep it to a half an hour, but I do not ever succeed.
I think you usually get the news section in by the half an hour point at least.
Yeah, so. The intro news section somewhere between 30, 45 minutes, something like that.
And my dad used to listen to it in its earlier iteration.
Yeah, well, when I started it out as a Catholic pilot, it was like a half an hour show. And then it just kept on getting longer and longer and longer. See, my problem, and one of many, of course, don't anybody else chime in, please, is the fact that I'm a people pleaser and I want to answer everybody's questions. So I get a lot of feedback and I really answer everybody's question.
Everything.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a good thing.
Hey, let's all send Captain Jeff.
No, please don't. You know, what's funny about that is most podcasters, if you're a podcaster listening to the show, you understand that that's one of the hardest things for a lot of podcasters is to get people to send them feedback. Like this show is a good example of it. We hardly ever get any feedback. But on my show, I get too much. And I sometimes have to ask people not to send me feedback. Seriously, I do. I have to be careful.
Problems.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, enough of that. Steve.
Yes, sir.
So I know that we had talked about it last episode. So this is your last week running up to the big events, right?
That's right. We leave on Thursday to drive to Lexington, Kentucky. And then I'll be there I'll get there on the 23rd and I leave on the 2nd. Of August.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know what that is. 10 days, 11 days, something like that.
Yeah, almost 2 weeks.
Time for lots of mint juleps.
I don't know. I'm so exhausted now. I don't know how I'm going to make it through.
So if you're not familiar with what Steve is talking about, like somebody's just now for the first time listening to this train wreck we call Catholic Weekend, what is it that you're doing, sir?
My job at the moment is executive director of two college fraternal organizations. They're music band fraternity sorority. It's a great organization. Lots of great kids are involved. They're all musicians. They're all service-oriented, leadership-oriented. It's really good. But every 2 years, we have our national convention. And so we have a national convention, and then before that, we have some student training that we do, and then before that we have like board meetings and things like that. So it's going to start next Friday night and it's going to go nonstop until Sunday morning, August 2nd. And wow. I counted it up the other day, and I'm responsible for organizing it all. So I had to do all the hotel contracts and all the catering and all the audio visual and all that stuff. And I counted it up because I was just being a glutton, and it's 275 separate events.
Oh my gosh.
If you count all the different committee meetings and rehearsals and, you know, meals and all that stuff, it's 275 different ones. And
are you present in all of these or most of these?
I certainly hope not. There's some key ones.
You're going to be the guy running around doing all the putting out of the fires.
Yes. You know, it's like, where's my projector? Where's this? Where's that? You know, and having to interface with the there's a hotel, and then there's a convention center, and then we're using the Opera House, which is next door. So three different locations. Anyway, I could go on and on about that, but
well, I've heard about these band camps. They're pretty wild.
Go back.
Mm-mm. Yeah. My kid is in KKSI.
I know. Yeah, I remember you told me that years ago. You told me that. So yeah, the stuff that goes on outside of my sight and sound, I can't really be too worried about.
Nothing you can do about it.
No.
So do you have a super secret handshake?
A super secret handshake?
Or just a
for
secret?
The organization?
I'm not allowed to discuss that.
Oh, I know what that means. Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Right. I can either confirm nor deny anything that you might ask me about. The
Which, as I learned in the Air Force, meant, yes, we do, but I can't talk
yes,
about
we
it.
Do.
Wait a minute. I didn't have a secret handshake in the Air Force. I guess they never filled me in.
You just flew over places that don't exist. Oh, I was a,
you heard Father Corey there. Well, you were a pilot, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Father Corey's not bitter at all.
No, not at all. Yeah, I always thought the Air Force was smart. You know, yes, we sent our officers to fight, not our enlisted, but at least we let them retreat at Mach 1, so.
Well.
Were you a pilot too, Father?
Me? No, I flew a desk. I was a computer geek.
Oh, yeah.
I was enlisted. I wasn't an officer. So.
Is that what they call the chair force?
The chair force. Exactly. There we go.
We're never as heard a discouraging
That's why you don't have a super word. Secret mustache.
Hey, you know what time it is? Nothing. Wait a minute. There we go. Let me turn the volume up. Uh-oh. Oh, what is that playing? Oh, that is... Apparently I'm supposed to be in a break right now. So let me do that first. I have two different apps, music apps playing at the same time. Sorry. So let's do the break first. What do you think? So this is the time where I talk about and thank all of you out there who are supporters of SQPN. And if you want to become a friend of SQPN, you can head over to sqpn.com, and there you'll find the, let's see, right over here, a something over there. I'm pointing to it right now if you're watching the video, a button that you can subscribe to become a friend of SQPN and start your monthly donations or one-time donations, all that kind of stuff. And you can find information about that by heading over to sqpn.com/donate. If you're listening to the audio here, you can go straight to the page where you can sign up to help support our mission here at the StarQuest Production Network, which is the way we take part in the new evangelization. And we'll talk about this in a minute, but Amazon just had a big Prime Day on Wednesday of this week. And but you don't have to be a Prime member of Amazon to help support SQPN. You can just head over there. First, go to the website, our website, click on the associated link for the appropriate Amazon.com store for your country, and then do your shopping. You'll pay the same low prices at Amazon for the most part, but you will be giving a portion of your, or a portion of the purchase will go to our network. And really adds up. A little bit here, a little bit there. And it's a part of our funding mechanism for our organization. So remember, before you buy, think of something that rhymes. Before you buy,
try.
Yeah. To go, try to remember to go to sqpn.com. Click the link. Not very, very good. Okay, and the final thing is, if you're somebody out there who's just itching to start their own podcast, as Sarah Vabulous did, or your own blog, as Sarah and Steve and Father Roderick and Maria Johnson and so many of us out there do, you need web hosting, please consider using Bluehost.com. And we have a link to Bluehost in the on the website as well. And if you sign up with them through that link, it really benefits our organization as well. So, how's that going with Bluehost, Steve and Sarah and Maria?
No complaints whatsoever.
Good.
I haven't had to call them for months, so it's great.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Yeah, and if you do call them,
Had to call Sarah.
I've heard that if you do call them, I don't have my personal websites hosted by Bluehost at this point, but hopefully in the future. But I hear that if you do ever have to call them up, that they're very, very good.
Super great. Oh yeah, I've had to call them a couple times for some mess ups that I've done, and their customer service is super good.
Excellent. That's good to know. So, friend of SQPN, Amazon.com, Bluehost.com. Again, for all of those, head over to SQPN.com, the website of the StarQuest Production Network. And again, as always, thanks for your support. We really do appreciate it. All right, so there is our break. And now, I can't play the music yet because it's still playing here on my... I just turned the knob down.
Show.
So we'll wait for just a few more seconds as I vamp. Oh, I found, actually, I didn't find it. Our producer, Lynn, found a little quiz. So are you guys ready for a quiz?
Ding, ding, ding.
I think we're going to do pretty well with this. I think that we have an august panel. And even though it's only July.
It's only July.
Yeah, but we can pretend. Okay, so now it looks like it's safe for me to pull up that volume and do this. So it is time now for the Catholic Weekend Quiz of the Week, or every other week, or every month, or whenever we feel like
random
doing it.
Quiz.
Random quiz episode. Okay, this one is about, and no cheating, how much do you know about the sacrament of reconciliation? So, you guys ready?
Does no cheating mean the priest not answer?
You get to recuse yourself. Well, you actually, we want to know if you don't know.
Yeah, that's too safe. Why don't we just kind of keep you in the wings just in case?
Okay. I could be like a lifeline, you know. Who wants to be a millionaire? Yeah. I could be the lifeline.
Well, I tell you what, you can run the thing. Are you on the page, the link?
Don't have it. I'll grab it here in just a sec.
Okay. It's Duke.
Yep, I got it. Okay. It's coming up here.
Great. Okay. So again, it's what you think you know, but you really don't about, that's my name, of the sacrament of confession or reconciliation. And the first question I'll do, which one of these is not a correct name for the sacrament of confection? That's the answer. Okay. It's not the sacrament of confection. Confession. Okay, so the choices are the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of conversion, the sacrament of reconciliation, or the sacrament of peace. Okay, so we play the... there we go. Oh, no, we do this.
It's not the sacrament of peace. That's not right.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Sarah is correct. It is not the sacrament of peace. So we go...
No, I've never heard it called the sacrament of conversion. Whatever.
I've never heard it called that either.
I don't think that's an official name for it, but that's what happens when we go to it. So
right. I was like, well, it makes sense because you're supposed to, you know, change your bad behavior. But
I think that if you take this quiz, which we'll have on the show notes, it cites some stuff from the catechism. And I think one of the last sentences talks about the fact that it's... sacrament of peace, but
it
not,
is called the sacrament of conversion because it makes sacramentally present Jesus' call to conversion.
I guess I need to read this more, huh?
Oh, handy dandy.
All right, so Father, okay. Are you ready to do question number two?
So number two. Now the answer for this one is going to have multiple parts to the options, so I'll just do A, B, C, and D. So during Jesus' public ministry, he forgave the sins of A, the apostles, B, the woman at the well, the Good Samaritan, and the Pharisees, C, the paralytic man, the adulterous woman, the woman who anointed his feet with perfumed oil, and the good thief, or D, the prophets of old, John the Baptist, and the adulterous woman.
I choose C.
That is correct.
You are the winner. The paralytic man, the adulterous woman, the woman who anointed his feet with perfumed oil, and the good thief.
See, the thing that sealed the deal for me there was the good thief. That happened. So.
And also, you always go for the longest answer if you're not really sure.
Yeah, exactly.
or you just eliminate the ones that you know weren't right.
Yep, exactly.
Ooh, we have some experienced test takers apparently here. Yeah. Okay.
Or you just do like me, as I just would do like diagrams with those little bubble charts.
Oh my gosh.
I do graphics, you know. It's like, whatever. If I'm going to fail, I may as well make it look good.
No. What if it's one of those forms where you fill in the little dot?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh.
That's what...
Okay, I've never done that.
Make Christmas tree. Christmas yeah. tree, your answers.
Yeah, I did that once. I gave a test where C was the correct answer on every question. And then I had students purposely purposely choosing wrong answers because they didn't think it could possibly be that.
Who would possibly do that?
I would do the same thing. I'd be like, there is no freaking way all of these are C.
Obviously, they don't know me well enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that's my funny. Type A personality would just like hate that.
Did you ever take that test, the following directions test, where the directions say read the questions first?
Yeah,
read all the questions first. Yep.
Oh, I do that to my students all the time when I'm just tired of them. I mean, when I just get
and what the last
one,
question?
Read all the questions first, the and last like the last question. One is just put your name on the top and hand it in. You know,
the erasures and you have them do things like raise your right hand.
Oh yeah,
that's just terrible. But it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it is when you're on this side of the desk.
That sounds discouraging and disparaging. Okay.
Yeah. So moving on.
Yes.
Number three. Who has the power to forgive sin? A, God. B, all baptized Catholics. C, God, priests, deacons, and religious education directors. Or D, my sin is forgiven through a simple prayer of repentance.
Oh, obviously, it's not.
You think are we Protestant the one with the DREs?
Yeah, it's got to be the DREs.
Yes.
Hey.
Just God, right?
Yep, God alone can forgive sin. It does it through the priest.
All right. What? I thought it was a priest forgiving. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Number four, Father Corey.
You are truly forgiven of your sin by God during the moment of A, reconciliation, B, perfect contrition, C, absolution, D, transubstantiation.
As much as I want to be a smart aleck and say D, C, right?
Which is C? I don't. So they're in a different order on my page. So go ahead.
Oh, absolution.
That is correct.
I just really like the word transubstantiation.
Yeah,
that's
a cool word.
Isn't there a song?
Yeah, Matt Moore wrote a song with it in it. So
yeah,
it was that song. I was like, oh, I bet you could never write transubstantiation in a song. So
watch. Just.
All right, moving on. Number five.
Which of these is not one of the three actions required by the penitent, the person confessing? A, the intention to make reparation and do works of reparation. B, memorization of the act of contrition. C, repentance. Or D, confession of sin to the priest.
Oh, the one I struggle with. I can't remember how to say a prayer straight through.
Exactly. Memorization.
I bring my phone now.
I do too. Oh my goodness, I do too.
You know, I don't
have to bring. I always supposed to have to bring cookies. Is that not right?
No, I eat humble pie and always say.
You know what? You guys are making me feel so much better because I amongst us here is the convert to Catholicism, and so I do the same thing. I have to have something to read when I do the sacrament of penance, and I'm thinking I'm just not a good Catholic.
Let's put it this way.
I blame the technology.
You know what? I keep flyers in the confessional with the act, and frankly, I didn't have it memorized until I was a priest, and I started hearing it several times a day. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have it memorized at all, so that's nothing to be ashamed of. It really isn't. I mean, I frankly, there's a thought that. At least you got in front of you and you're praying it sincerely and you're not sitting there trying to remember it. No.
I was once given penance to learn it. I still haven't got it.
I made a good effort, right?
So that's what counts.
We had a framed copy of it on the wall in the confessional.
Oh, so, that's brilliant. Yeah,
the priest would just, you know, the student would start to stutter and he would just say, read that.
Right there. Point. Just point.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't want to be in there just worrying the whole time, am I going to be able to remember all the things that I'm supposed to say? You want to be really kind of searching your heart and making this as effective as possible, you know?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, but you don't want them to not come because they're scared about forgetting the prayer.
Exactly. Yeah. So that, I think that all these helps are nice. I think, you know, at our church, we have a little piece of laminated, you know, the prayers are laminated right there on the in the confessional. So,
let me ask you a question about that rubric, though, Father. So it says to make an act of contrition. It doesn't say to say the act of contrition, right? So is it good enough for you to be contrite and say, cover all of those points with your own contrition?
To make an act of contrition is to, I mean, that's kind of a church language for saying that prayer. You know, because there's the act of contrition, there's the act of humility, there's several of those acts where there's specific prayers where you are stating, you know, it's a statement. You know, to make an act of contrition is to make a statement, you know, declaring, I am contrite, you know.
I mean, but I think that's the best.
That's what I'm asking. So it doesn't have to be that prayer. It
doesn't have to be that exact prayer. Otherwise, I have many, many, many confessions that are not that.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be the exact words like, you know, oh, my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee. But you do have to show, you have to say a prayer that shows contrition. It shows resolution to never sin again. It shows a desire to make reparation for those sins. Now, it doesn't have to be the written one that's in front of you. That's just an example. I've had plenty of people confess where they kind of make their own prayer up. But it still isn't, you still have to make that act of contrition. You still have to make that statement of contrition.
I've also just done the answer questions from priests, like, are you very sorry? Are you going to try not to do it again? So, like, it hits all the points, but they ask me questions, and I affirm what they're asking me.
Exactly. And that is an act of contrition as well. The easiest is just, you know, say this prayer. You know, that's just the easiest way to do it. So, moving on to number 6. Jesus instituted the sacrament of penance when he said, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. B, lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. C, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And D, then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven.
B.
Say B. Anyone else?
Wait, what was the question?
I say it's B, receive the Holy Spirit if you forgive the sins of any. Oh, that's C.
C on mine, but yeah.
Okay.
Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That is correct.
All right.
It comes to us from John chapter 20.
By the way,
I love it where someone says, can you repeat the question on the longest question we've had so far?
Yeah. I was like, wait, what was the question? I was pretty sure of the answer, but I legit spaced out and didn't hear the question.
It was like when
I was here thinking about the previous question, so I've
la 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 la.
It's basically when the sacrament was initiated, or
Okay. I mean, I kind of inferred that from the answers, but I wanted to make sure.
So I was in mass 3-4 weeks ago, something like that, Father Corey, and the deacon was doing his. It was like the deacon day at my parish. Okay. So he was talking about John 20, and and then he kind of, I don't know if he flat out said it, but he kind of definitely alluded to the fact or implied that he was not just talking to the apostles and disciples. He was talking to everybody when he said, and I'm thinking, all of a sudden the little bell started ringing in my head going, oh, I don't think that that's a correct interpretation of that, because that was the institution of the sacrament, was when he was with the disciples and he said these words to them.
Yeah,
giving them
power. Look at who was in the room at the time he was speaking. This was the disciples. Mm-hmm. They were in the locked room.
Right, in that upper room.
Yeah, so, I hate to criticize one of my brother clerics, but Deacon needs to go get a refresher on Catholic theology.
Yeah, it was like,
because that's pretty basic.
From that point on, it was like I couldn't even, I wasn't even concentrating on what he was saying because I kept thinking, what? I don't think that's right. And so maybe it was, maybe I heard him say it wrong. Or, you know, maybe it was my fault. I misinterpreted what he said, but yeah.
With some of the wacky stuff that's been preached over the last 40 years or so, it doesn't surprise me.
But, you know, that's what non-Catholic Christians would argue, that, well, that's not just for the apostles, disciples, and all of their, you know,
successors,
you know, the bishops and priests and all that. Mm-hmm. But it is.
Yeah.
So, yep. Okay, exactly. Good. Thank you. Next.
Onward to number 7.
Yes. So,
why would I want to go to confession? A, it allows us to sin as much as we want and never feel bad about it or pay the consequences for our actions.
There we go.
B, it brings peace and serenity. C, it increases strength for spiritual battles. D, it restores my relationship with God, the church, and recovers grace.
Yes.
D, even though I really want to yell, serenity now! Serenity now!
As much as I want it to be A, it is D.
Wait. It's not A? It allows us to sin as much as we want and never feel bad about it or pay the consequences?
No, it's not the Catholic get-out-of-jail card. Sorry. Oh,
darn.
Unlike so many of our Protestant friends believe that Catholics can do anything. You just go to confession.
I was half tempted at one point. There's a thing you can order online called a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's a parody of the Get Out of Jail Free from Monopoly.
Oh, nice.
I was really tempted to order some of those and have those in the confessional. And really tempted. I never did.
Oh,
I was tempted.
Come back.
All right. Well, speaking of sins, how about venial sins?
Yes. Number 8. Venial sins can be forgiven. A, there really is no need to seek forgiveness for these types of small sins. B, during the penitential rite at Mass or during the Sacrament of Reconciliation. C, at the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Or D, when you tell your friend or trusted mentor about it.
I think it's B.
Actually, I think there are two answers here.
Oh?
Well, I mean, so is B during the penitential rite at Mass or during the sacrament? Oh, I'm sorry.
Correct.
I never mind.
Oh,
I didn't,
but it also includes it.
Yeah, I didn't read the answer right. So it's that
it's
one, right?
B. Yep. Penitential rite at Mass or during the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Although it is a very good and holy practice to confess your venial sins at reconciliation. In fact, even to go to reconciliation if that's all that you have, because it helps you overcome those. So.
All those do-gooders out there that don't have any mortal sins, they can go as well and get the grace.
Exactly. Number 9.
Do-gooders.
I mean that in a nice way.
Yeah.
The do-gooders don't need confessions.
No. They don't need to listen to a show like this either.
All I can say, Lynn,
it's a good thing it's on Saturdays.
All I can say, Lynn, I think you just need to name this episode the offensive episode.
What is wrong with us today?
I don't know.
I'm not offended, so.
You're the offender.
Yeah,
I have not said anything offensive.
For once, there you go.
That's what you think.
What do you mean for once? Hold on now.
I have not said anything offensive.
Yet. Okay.
Number 9. According to the precepts of the church, Catholics should go to confession. It is A, it is not really necessary to go if you tell God you are sorry in your heart. B, at least once a year. C, during the Christmas and Easter season. D, only if they have mortal sins.
B.
It is B, at least once a year, or if you have mortal sins. They should have put that in there too, but.
Yeah. Wait, it's not just only during Easter and Christmas?
Nope. Though it's a good time to do it.
And actually, it's a good time. Especially because a lot of churches have their penance services. So if you're a chicken and don't want to go to your parish priest, You yep. have choices that day.
Exactly. And, you know, actually, you know, when you think about it, really, it's the rule is at least once a year during the Easter season. So during Lent or Easter is yeah. when you're supposed to do it. So, but you can do it, you know, as many times as you need, obviously, and should.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you supposed to also have the Eucharist one at Easter? Or
yes, once a year during the Easter season. They call it your Easter duty.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that's something we don't have to worry about. It actually used to be a real problem. People weren't receiving Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament.
So, fun facts, it's still a problem in a lot of countries except for the United States. A lot of our Hispanic brothers and sisters in particular have, let's say, a more reverent view of the Eucharist than we here have in the United yes. States of America.
Yes, I would agree with
and,
that.
And so they're a lot more strict on themselves on when they can receive and when they can't. And truth mm-hmm. be told, I respect that
mm-hmm. so absolutely.
Very much. I think it is absolutely beautiful. And truth be told, I think I can learn a thing or two.
Yeah, we all can. We really can, because we got to remember who it is we are receiving when we yes. receive that host. You know, it is Jesus himself, and we need to prepare ourselves for it through the sacrament of confession.
And that's a sin in itself, isn't it?
Yes, it is. If okay. you receive it with a mortal sin, that is the sin of sacrilege, which is another mortal sin. So you're piling them on.
Ding, 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 ding. You're just racking them up.
So for review, you want to go through the mortal sins? Just list them real quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
But can it be?
Stay tuned for our second hour.
I'm just saying. It can't. I'm just saying, the mortal sin, really, though, is something that while you're committing it, you know it's wrong.
You know you're doing it.
Do it anyway.
It's a grave matter. It's a grave yeah. sin. So it's yeah. a direct violation of things like the Ten Commandments, the precepts of the Church. You know, so you have the obligation. For example, precept of the Church is the obligation to go to Mass every Sunday. You don't go to Mass every Sunday.
It's a mortal sin.
So, I mean, I honestly, I joke about it, but I don't have the list in front of me, and I don't have them memorized. Sorry.
I think she knew
that. She did that on purpose.
But also, it is subjective, right? Because it's about someone also knowing something.
They have to. They
you
do have to know.
Have a mortal sin for
it
something.
It has to be an intention.
Well, you have, and you have to do it willingly. So, yeah. You know, the example often comes up is: does a 10-year-old kid commit a mortal sin for missing Mass? Because his parents didn't take him to Mass and he can't go on his own.
No.
It's not like he lives across the street from the church. No, he didn't.
Right.
His parents did, and you could say they made their mortal sin that much worse by, you know, doing it to their son as well, their son or daughter as well. You know, so yeah, it you can make it worse by who you affect as well, so.
Very good.
Going on. Ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's do that. This is going to be an extended yeah. show. We're going to go over our hour because we still need to do picks of the week and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I think it's worth, you know, extending yeah, it a little bit. This yeah, is good stuff.
Absolutely.
This is my favorite sacrament, by the way.
Yeah.
Nice. Number 10. If a person confesses the sin of murder or another serious crime, the priest must go to the authorities. True or false?
Isn't it if they admit that they're going to go and do something, but I want to.
This is the priest.
Yeah, I know. So it's got to be false, right? Because you can't go no matter what.
Yep, the seal correct. Of confession, right?
But, yep, the seal of confession prohibits the priest from ever sharing a sin. Movie that really shows this wonderfully. Of course, I'm kind of a Hitchcock fan, anyways. But I Confess by Hitchcock, fantastic movie, and really shows this because. The whole plot is that this guy commits a murder and then frames the priest. Commits a murder, confesses it, and then frames the priest.
Wow.
And the priest doesn't even talk about meeting the guy in the confessional. And the whole time the priest is the...
So tell us, Father, what can you do if a scenario comes up where someone admits beforehand that they're going to hurt themselves or somebody else? What can you do?
You know, that's one of those arguments you have at seminary. And, you know, thanks be to God, for most of us, it's going to be just a theoretical exercise. The argument goes, because the seal of confessional is so absolute, you can't do anything. The scenario you will hear at seminary a lot and this is kind of the ultimate extreme. Guy comes into the confessional before Mass. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I just poisoned the wine you're about to use for Mass.
Yeah, I've heard this one.
The argument is that the priest has to leave that confessional after he's done hearing confessions, celebrate Mass normally, including using the poisoned wine.
Wow.
That's how absolute. Now, to be fair, at seminary, they do a lot of these extreme examples. But a more, you know, a more simple example might be, you know, Father, I'm about to go beat up a guy on the front steps of the church because he owes me money or something like that. You know, and what I would have to, again, I couldn't stop him, but what I would say probably, you know, if you're really sorry for your sins, I don't know why you're confessing this to me here, don't do it. That's the only thing I can do is just tell him, don't do it.
You couldn't distract him after the confession and keep him from that opportunity?
No, honestly, you can't even act differently. You know, it's that strict. And, of course, I couldn't report it to the police or anything like that. You know, it's – now realize you can't absolve sins in advance either.
Right.
You can't go in on Saturday afternoon and say, bless me, Father, for I'm about to sin. I'm about to go get drunk tonight. It doesn't work. Sorry. If anybody's planning on doing that today, it doesn't work. Sorry.
Oh, dang it.
There's no pre-forgiveness? What's up with that?
I just bought a pre-forgiveness package on Amazon. You're telling me it's no good? Got it on Prime Day.
But I have that card from last week.
Yeah.
I was just saving it for a good one.
Yeah, but exactly.
I bought all these pre-forgiveness indulgences. What?
I know. Martin Luther wants to talk to you.
All right, let's wrap it up with the last question, sir.
Number 11.
Yeah.
If a person hasn't been to confession within the last 5 years, then they need to be retrained on the appropriate technique. True or false?
False.
If you haven't been to confession in a while, go. Just go. You know, we want, as a priest, I can tell you, we love it when we hear someone come in and say, it's been a long time, Father. And we're more than, usually priests will help you. They'll help you through the steps. Just go. Get a good examination of conscience, look it over, and go.
You know, I went to confession once, and it had been 40 years.
That was your first confession, too, I take it.
Yes, it was. You know what? You rack up a lot of sins in 40 years.
Well, I've heard the, you know, it's been 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, you know, people who hadn't gone to confession since their first confession as a child. And it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing to hear that, you know, especially then when they make it a regular habit after that.
Excellent.
If you're away from the church, if, you know, you don't know how to come back, go to confession. You're back. Go to confession, go to Mass, done. You know, it's that simple.
Very good. Well, this was a good discussion. Thank you, Lynn, for finding that quiz for us. And if you want to go over it again, take it yourself, head over to the show notes for this episode.
And by the way, at the end it says, Catechism Connoisseur, we'd say you are a know-it-all. Excellent work. We're know-it-all.
Yay to the know-it-alls.
They have at the bottom of this page, actually, they have a link to Father Larry Richard's talk on confession, which is phenomenal. First of all, Father Larry Richard, if you've never heard him speak, he's just high energy. He's just so much fun to listen to. But that talk on confession is absolutely fantastic.
He does a really interesting form. I have not gone to confession with him because when he's come and done our parish mission a couple of times, and he will say, you know, I prefer people that haven't been to confession in years and years and years. So if you're a regular confessor, like, you can come talk to me, but I'd rather spend my time with people who have been a while, because when he does confession with folks, he just goes through the Ten Commandments and asks you questions, you know, yes or no. And so he really gives a nice, thorough examination of conscience as you're going to confession with him. And so he proudly talks about it during his parish mission. So truly, if he's ever in the city that you live in close by, go hear him speak. He's absolutely amazing, yeah. Especially when he calls people who leave Mass early Judas. It's one of my favorite quotes of his.
The Judas shuffle, yep. The
shuffle. If you leave Mass early, you are just as bad as Judas.
Ouch.
Oh, yeah.
Sting.
I've heard variations on that. It's pretty good.
Time you try to leave Mass early, please remember those words. Brought to you by Father Larry Richards and Catholic Weekend.
There you go.
That's funny.
Hey, I need to make a special announcement here. Lynn,
please.
Advised us before we started recording that Zena, someone who has been with us in the SQPN community for quite a number of years, she just gave birth to Fiona Elizabeth this morning at 9:16 a.m. She is a healthy 8-pound baby girl. So, yay. Congratulations.
Welcome, Fiona.
Yeah.
Welcome to our world. We're sorry for the mess we've made. But we're doing our best to clean it up. All right. It is now time for the best part of the show, which is the end. Now, the picks of the week. Thank you, Miss Gone, for that. Who would like to go first with their pick of the week?
Oh, I can.
Okay.
So my pick of the week is an organization that's actually been around for a long time, and some people might have heard of it, some people might not. You might have heard of it, not know what it does. My pick is the Catholic Extension Service. Catholic Extension is an organization here in the United States that's been around since, according to their website, 1905. And in 1910 was actually raised to the dignity of a canonical institution under the Pope. So it actually reports directly to the Pope. I mentioned Catholic Extension because it's an organization I think a lot of us are familiar with because we all see these.
Mm-hmm.
Our lovely parish calendars. I know Captain Jeff has one on his wall there. Mm-hmm. A lot of parishes in the United States use these. First of all, they're wonderful calendars. I mean, they really are. I love the Saint one. Because it's such, they put such beautiful artwork in here. It's just a fantastic calendar. I know they've got other options as well, but this is the one that we personally use. You can see, you know, Catholic communities of Phillips County. This is my parish calendar. They're just wonderful calendars. They're beautifully done. But one of the great things that these calendars do is they proclaim here on the front. Yeah, there you can see another one of their calendars from Captain Jeff's parish. Is they say that 100% of their proceeds go to their work, and they describe that their work is to strengthen the presence and mission of the Catholic Church in under-resourced Catholic communities across the United States. And the reason why I bring them up now is because the parishes that I'm taking over, the Native American parishes that I'm taking over, receive support from Catholic Extension. We have received and will be receiving next year grants from Catholic Extension to help with running the parish, paying for the priest to be there, paying for the expenses of the parish, the outreach of the parish, and so on. So it's a wonderful organization, and you know, every time when your parish does the Catholic Extension parish calendar, as I said, that money goes to support these small rural parishes, these mission parishes throughout their country. Now, this past year, they did one really neat project, and we even got involved with it at CNMC. Now, if you ever saw the Flat Francis, mm-hmm. where they did the could print out this little Francis, well, our producer, Lynn Francisco, did one of those, and I'll share my picture for those watching on the video. I hope I think it's showing through.
Yep, it is.
You can see Lynn holding it there with Marika Donders and Steph, and Steph, Angel Steph, and myself there at the CNMC. So it was it's kind of a neat project. And you go to the Catholic Extension website, and it was all across the country. It was amazing. So pretty neat. Pretty neat program, pretty neat project that they did. But, you know, Catholic Extension itself is a fantastic thing. So encourage people to check them out, to support them, and to, you know, give them your money so they can help places like my parishes that definitely need it, you know. And it's not just in Montana, it's throughout the country. If you go to their website, they have stories from throughout the country of small parishes, rural parishes, under-resourced, as they call it, under-resourced parishes that need your support and your help.
Excellent. Great pick. Yeah, I use that calendar all the time.
Me too.
So, yep. Thank you, sir. Let's see. Who would like to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of a follow-on to what Father Corey was talking about. Is my pick of the week is my own local bishop, Bishop Edward Slattery. And before he became our bishop in 1994, he worked for the Extension Service in Chicago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Hmm. And he is going to turn 75 in a couple of weeks, which means I think he has to turn in his resignation, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So I don't know how much later. Yeah, I don't know how much longer he'll be our bishop, but at that point. But so my shout out is to him for his service to the Diocese of Tulsa.
Excellent. All right. Good pick. Let's see. Let's get some girl power in here. Maria?
I have, I think for the first time ever, a technology.
What? Something must be wrong.
I finally just got irritated at running out of battery. And so I got one of those little portable battery chargers. And it's the Anker Astro E3. And it charges. It's fantastic. It has given me such freedom to go out now and just pop this in my purse or my book bag and be able to get a full charge in no time.
She's even more dangerous now on social media.
Gosh, because I've stayed off it practically all week because of other things.
So Anker, yeah, they make great products. Good company. Excellent choice. Wow, I'm surprised. Way to go, Maria.
Aren't you amazed?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and go along with the technology theme. And let's see, I'm going to share my screen. This is a new app in the both for the iOS, iPhone and iPad, but also for Android. Mm-hmm. And the name of it is Echo, Echo Prayer, I believe. I think that's the way you would search for it, or you could just use the handy dandy link that we'll have in our show notes today. And Echo exists to help you pray. It's a prayer manager. And their copy here says, "We believe that prayer is a powerful and effective way for us to connect with God. If you're anything like us, the biggest obstacles that keep you from praying are difficulty organizing or keeping a list of your prayers, then actually remembering to pray for those things when life gets busy. Echo was created to solve these problems and to give you space to engage with your Creator." And I honestly just downloaded it this morning. I have not had a chance to set it up yet, but you can sign up for an account for free. The app, by the way, is also for free. So
yeah, I found it this week as well. Probably the same place. It wasn't in the show notes, but. From Sarah Reinhardt's article, I believe it was. Yeah. And I've got it actually set up to remind me for the breviary. So, you know, again, looking at my screen there, you can see the pop-up there where it says, you know, pray Lauds, office readings, and morning prayer. So you can set it up like that where it will do a regular cycle where, you know, every day at 9 o'clock it's going to tell you to pray this or that. Or you can put in, you know, different people that you want to pray for and what their intentions are, and then set it up to randomly remind you. So it'll just all of a sudden pop up, hey, it's time to pray for Steve for the success of his conferences. It's time to pray for Jeff that he has safe flights today, you know, whatever it happens to be that you want to pray for. So it's really a neat app. I've just been playing with it a little bit, and it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
That's my problem. You know, people will ask me to pray for them, and then, you know, I completely forget because I don't have anything to remind me. So,
great. Yeah, I've always felt a little reluctant, you know, when you hear something and you say, oh, well, you'll be in my prayers. And then it's like, will I remember
Yeah.
to actually do that? I don't know. So I hate to even say that because I don't want to seem like I'm promising something that I may not really do. So I like this idea.
I immediately offer up a prayer on the spot.
That's, I do too.
Yeah. So, you know, at least you got something in there, right?
Yeah.
All right. So thank you to Lynn for putting that in the show notes. And that was my pick of the week. And it's a great one, by the way. I think I'll be using it often. So, and Sarah, do you have a pick for us?
Today is St. Arnold's feast day. So my pick.
Ooh.
Now, tell us about St. Arnold.
He's the patron saint of beer.
Yay!
And if you want to learn more about him, I know at least two resources that you can go to. One is that book right behind my left shoulder, the Home Brewed Evangelization. It's not easy for me to say. And also episode one of the Catholic Drinky Show.
Yes.
Talk quite
also,
a bit.
Also, I wrote a blog on Epic Pew this week about him as well. So lots and lots of fun with St. Arnold.
Excellent.
I have to, you know, when I was listening to your show, I thought I need to write this down, that when they were in the tavern and they prayed to St. Arnold for his intercession to bring more beer.
Multiplication of beers? Yes.
Yes. And because I want to remember that one so that when I do my next toast, you know, I'll you know, ask for his intercession.
Yeah, might as well give it a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the miracle on which he was canonized, so give it a whirl.
Yeah. Nothing to, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at, right? Okay. So, yeah, thanks. Very cool. St. Arnoldus or Arnoldus or Arnold or whatever. You have a couple different versions.
There's all sorts of different iterations. But
yeah.
He's from Metz, France.
What a great guy. He and St. Joseph of Cupertino are my two top saints.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sarah, for that. And again, a reminder that you can read Sarah's blog at CatholicDrinky.com and her new book, Homebrewed Evangelization, is...
Evangelism.
Evangelism. I should probably grab the book and actually read it. There we go.
Homebrewed Evangelization, and then the publisher changed it to Evangelism because it was shorter.
Yeah. It's easier to say, too. Look for her podcast again in iTunes, both the Catholic Hipster and the Catholic Drinky podcast. And please leave. There we go. Man, I need more coffee. Leave a review on iTunes. It'll really help the show take off. So thank you, Sarah, for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Jeff.
And Father Corey, if you want to hear some awesome sermons, awesome homilies, head over to frcorey.org.
Well, I was going to say, if you don't want to hear some awesome homilies, or if you want to hear some awesome homilies, don't go to Father Corey. No, I'm kidding.
Go to Father Larry Richards.
Yeah, exactly. No, you can find my homilies there at my website. Someday I might actually do some blogging or something. And you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Untappd, all that kind of fun stuff at frcoreystica, last name spelled Sticha.
So, just found a really nice beer that I really like, made by Southbound Brewing in Savannah, Georgia.
Ooh, nice.
My local supermarket has this, I think it's called Hoplin IPA, whatever. Have you had that, Sarah?
No, because I'm not an IPA person.
Oh, never mind. Okay, forget it. Maria Johnson, we used to say another cup of coffee, but now it's MariaMJohnson.com. And
that is correct.
And so her badass blog. Tell us about that.
Got the pretty little girl on it. Mm-hmm. I'm blogging there now at MariaMJohnson.com. And you can follow me at Bego, BEGO, on the Twitters. And I started using Periscope a few weeks ago because my niece was in the Junior Olympics. And so we saw her performance on Periscope. So I had some fun with it this morning with Sarah because it just screamed at me that there was something going on. And I'm like, I don't even know how to use this. But it's really fun. So you can follow me there. I think I'm Maria Johnson.
Okay.
I Periscoped this morning.
Cool.
Well, that's nice. Okay.
Okay. Awkward.
I just don't know what to say. I'm speechless. Steve, did you Periscope today?
No. I'm very Periscope.
So if we...
I don't even own a submarine.
If we want to learn more about Steve and his activities and his photography and his ancestry, etc., lots of good stuff at the everythingesteban.com.
You are correct. Thank you.
Anything else?
No.
All right. Good luck. You know what? One of the things I'm going to put in my Echo Prayer app is pray for Steve this next week.
So. Yes. Also that I get sleep.
Good luck with all of that. And as I said, I have such respect for you and all of you people who put on these huge conferences. It's a lot of work. And I am Jeff, Captain Jeff, and I do the Airline Pilot Guy show. And you can find all that stuff at airlinepilotguy.com. And until next week, wishing you a great week and, of course, a great Catholic weekend. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.